Amen. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Job 23. I do have to make an announcement to you. Brother Mike, I was out on the property this week walking on the pad. Did you know there's deer tracks and turkey tracks in the auditorium? I don't even have to leave my office to shoot something this fall. Man, we're going to change one window on the my office will sit on the backside, and it's not a bay window, but it's going to slide this way, not this way, so it doesn't make noise as I move it back, so I can pull my bow and shoot my gun. Amen. And all right. You say, preacher, you shouldn't be that way. Okay, don't be, but I am.
Kill them all.
Yeah. No, not all of them. We got to have some for next year. You got to leave seeds, amen? All right, Job 23. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 together. Job chapter 23, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10 together. We'll read this responsively. I'll read verse 1. You join me on verse 2, and we'll read throughout the first 10 verses that way. Job 23, verses 1 through 10. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him, and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but there is no there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And let's pray. Father, Lord, not one time have I asked you to preach a good sermon, but I have begged you to let me help your people. Lord, I have asked you and begged you to use me and use your words through me to help your people grow closer to you. Lord, may we be closer to you today because we came, because we listened, because we paid attention and we put it to use in our life. Lord, the truth is there, but you've put it on us to do something with it. May we do something with it. Holy Spirit, please do what I cannot do. Meet every need of every person in this room today. In Jesus' name, amen. I today long to help you. I really do. Brother Barnes, can you give me just the humidity level has the PA down just a hair. And that's much better. Thank you. Job here in the book of Job. Job is a very interesting person. Job, I won't tell the whole story, but Job has been through a lot. By chapter 23, he's had it up to here and then some. Job has lost all of his businesses. Job lost all of his employees. Many of them were all killed. Job lost 10 children. Job lost actually 5 different businesses and 10 children in the same day. Job then loses his health. Job then loses the loyalty of his wife. Job then has 3 friends show up, and for 7 days they sit there and stare at him and say nothing. And after 7 days, when they do start talking, they start criticizing him, saying, "Well, God's judging you for this. This is all your fault. You must be really bad. Look what God did to you." And by chapter 23, Job has had enough. We hear of the patience of Job. You're at the end of his patience. Job now has to respond to his 3 critical friends. Of course, the Bible is God's words. They're not man's words. This is what Job said. This is what God said, Job said. God put those words into his mouth. Often in the Bible, you'll hear the statement or read the statement, "The word of the Lord came unto me saying." That means it was audible. It was able to be heard. And they heard it word for word. But Job, here, God says, and I love verse number 6, the last part of it. He would put strength in me. God tells Job, I will put my strength in you. I don't know about you, but there's days I get very weary. Brother Mike, I love the fact that we have manly men around here that understand what hard work is. I'm glad we have men that when you shake their hand, they got calluses on them. I'm glad that those that work in offices, they're not the last one there in the morning and the first one gone in the afternoon. I'm glad our men know what work is all about. But Job said, I'm wore out. Can you imagine the grief of losing 10 children all at one time? Can you imagine losing, he was the richest man in the world, lost all 5 businesses and all of his employees the same day his 10 kids died. Can you imagine losing your health to where you're sitting in the, basically, the town dump, sitting there on a pile of ashes, scraping the boils from head to toe with a piece of clay pottery just to find some reprieve. Then have your wife looked at you and say, why don't you just curse God and die, Job? Man, imagine that. He's had it all. He is totally empty. He's totally void of his own strength. Job has nothing left. I live a pretty vigorous schedule and pretty heavy schedule. I am no different than any other human being. I'm not busier than probably anybody else in here, but I stay pretty busy. I've been this way for over 3 decades, 30 years of my life. I've put a lot of hours in. I average 70 to 80 hours a week every week and have for 30 plus years. If you went back to my college days, I worked a full-time job. It was an hour drive each way, so I put 50 hours in that way. I took 18 to 21 hours of class. I carried a B average in college. I worked in the Bible club ministry. I had 2 Bible clubs, preached 3 times a week, taught a Sunday school class, and worked in a D-teen church on top of all that. I stay busy. I don't know anything else. I want to give all I have with what life I do have. I have been preaching 37 and a half, almost 38 years. I started preaching when I was 13 years old. I'm 51 years old right now. Can I tell you something? I don't plan on rusting out. I plan on wearing out. You say, well, you're going to burn out. Well, you might rust out. I may burn out. But either way, we're all going out because ain't none of us going to make it out alive. Right. And I don't know about you. I don't want to rust out like a Chevy. I want to keep on going forward like a Ford. Got you on that one. I want to be useful and productive until the day I die. Some of the men, we were talking yesterday morning at prayer breakfast, and, you know, Brother Mike, I don't think fear is the right word, but it's close. I don't want to get old someday and have a stroke and not be usable. I don't want to be a burden on my wife or my children or my church, and I definitely don't want to sit in church with slobber running down my face. That's just not what I envision. I don't fear death. I really don't. Dr. Anderson was here a couple weeks ago, and he said, Brother Bush, I just want to die in the saddle. I said, don't you dare die here. I said, don't you dare. I do not want to make that phone call. And he just giggled. But may I say this, I want to live each day to its fullest. Amen. I do. I want to give everything I've got every day with every bit of strength I have every day. Now, I don't want to just survive. I know people, their sole desire in life is just to survive. Now, bless God, I don't want to just survive. I want to produce while I'm surviving. My life should be more than a house, a car, and the things that I accumulate. When I die, the Hertz Penske truck is not behind the Hearst. You're not taking it with you. Why do we spend so much on our things and we look at our things as our life? Your life is more than things. My life will not be measured by the things that I have. My life will be measured by the people that I've influenced that will live on after me. How many people will be in heaven because I showed up on planet Earth? How many people won't die and go to hell because I showed up and did what I was supposed to do? How many Christians will have gotten stronger and grown and done what they're supposed to do, and they see people saved and they influence people and they gave their tithes and built churches and helped give to missions around the world and people all over the world being saved just because somebody did what they were supposed to do? That's how your life will be measured. Not, your life won't be measured because of your address and what house sits on that property. It's not going to be measured by your car or your truck. Thank God, because it's an 04 Ford with 209,000 miles on it. You see, my life is far more than things. How close to God can I get as many people as I can? I was so stinking blessed. I went to pick up my daughter at Bible college here a couple weeks ago. We were at college graduation. There is little in life more boring than college graduation. But it's not that bad. Thank God they have preaching and singing. That helps. Amen. But before it all started, I was standing there. I told this a couple weeks ago. And I stand there yakking, a bunch of preachers, and I know a lot of them. All of a sudden, this hand hits my shoulder, Brother Mike. And it felt like, okay, that was a big man. You know, there's a difference. You know, if Brother Stoltz puts his hand on your shoulder, you wonder if it's another woman. But, I mean, this was like a paw, and when it hit my shoulder, it kind of wrapped around almost halfway down my chest. I thought, wow. And I turned around, and I went, whoa. There's a big, tall, black fella, 6'10", standing there. And I looked up at him, and he said, Brother Bush. And he reached out, and he bent down and hugged me. I said, Jamie Jackson. Jamie Jackson was a teenager in my youth department 20 years ago in South Carolina. He's been in evangelism for almost 15 years. Bless God, don't you think I could touch the clouds on that one? Amen. I hadn't seen him in almost 20 years. Literally. Didn't even know he was in the ministry. When we get in our new building, you're going to meet him. I'm going to have to get a couple blocks and put under the pulpit so he can reach it. But let me tell you something. That blessed my heart. Man, I introduced him to my daughter and my son and to other folks there. I was so excited. I had no idea God used that. I have a couple that are they're in Belize as missionaries right now. I won both of them to Christ. My wife and I won them to Christ. They were in our Sunday school class. They're now missionaries in Belize. Wow. I was standing there at graduation, and this lady walks up. She said, Brother Bush, do you remember me? I said, your face looks familiar, but I am not about to put my foot in my mouth any farther than it usually is. No. And she said, she gave me her name. She gave me her husband's name. I said, now that name I know. She said, he and I are now married. You knew us. I said, from college. Yes, I know exactly who you are. She opened up her Bible, pulled out an envelope. She said, do you remember on a certain big day? She said, you wrote me a letter and encouraged me about some of the things I did on that big day. She said, did you know that my husband and I keep this in my Bible, and there's been times where we almost got out of the ministry. But I read that letter, and we stay in. Brother Stoltz, I don't know about you, but I had no idea when I wrote a thank you letter to a college girl that she did a good job, what it was going to mean. But I promise you one thing, I get tired. Contrary to what people think, I'm not the Energizer Bunny. I do get tired. And like Job, there are days, and the older I get, there's more of them, that I don't feel strong. How does God give us strength? Was it just available to Job? Is it only available to a select few people? Can I tell you something? Every promise in this book is to every person. Amen. Every promise in the book is mine. All of them are mine. Now look at me if you will. Let me give you just three or four quick things here. Number one, you cannot get strength until you use up what you have. You cannot get strength until you use up what you have. That's true spiritually. That's true physically. Until you use what strength you have, you don't have the ability to get more strength.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, you don't need to turn there because I'm going to turn there quickly, but 2 Corinthians 12, let me read a verse to you here. Folks, I'm breaking in a new Bible. It's not a new version, just a new one. My other one I have torn apart, and it's just needing retired. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. God says we get strength after we've used up all of our available strength. You have to empty it. If you went to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 9, you'd find the same thing. God says we find strength in weakness. That means you have to exude all of your strength for God to be able to give back to you strength. In other words, it's like your gas tank on your car. You don't go out and buy a brand new car, drive it for 400 or 500 miles till the gas tank's empty and say, okay, take that to the junkyard, got to go buy another one. No, you bought it to where you can fill the tank again. God says your strength is like the gas tank in your car. As long as you go get it filled up, it'll fill back up. But you can't put any more in it once it's full. When it starts coming back out the end, you had enough. You can sit there and pour it till it pours all over the side of the car, out on the gas station parking lot. You can do whatever you want, but you're not getting any more in the tank. You see, according to Hebrews 11:34, he wants us weak so that he can give us strength. That means you have had to use up all of your strength so that God can say, watch what I can do through you. God doesn't replace it as it's used. It's not like having an IV bottle hooked up to you and it just keeps replenishing as you go. Oh, no, 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 no. It's like your car. You have to run it and run it and run it and run it and then go somewhere and get it filled back up so that it's full again so that you can keep it running. It doesn't just... Somebody needs to invent an automatic drip coffee alarm clock so that when you want it to go off, 5 minutes before it goes off, it starts making coffee, the hook comes over and finds your mouth and just starts pouring in so that you wake up, amen? Whoever does that, you'll make a lot of money, just tithe. now, wait a minute. You need to fill the tank as you empty the tank. Now, some people like driving on E. Some people, if it gets past half full, buddy, they're looking for a gas station. It doesn't matter either way. You've had to drive a while before you put fuel back in the car. And you have to push your body, you have to push your strength, you have to push your spirit to where you exude the energy so that there's a void there so God can come back in and say, here you go. Here you go. By the way, God doesn't force you to fill the tank. Did you know you can drive by every gas station known to Martinsburg, Falling Waters, Inwood, Bunker Hill, Harper's Ferry, Winchester, Hagerstown, and run out of gas? It doesn't fill up just because you drove by the gas station. You have to purposely stop and fill the tank. Can I tell you something? Just because you go to church doesn't mean that God filled your tank. I know people sitting in church that get nothing out of it because they don't pay attention. They don't use it. Well, I know more than he knows anyway. You need the Word of God. I need the Word of God. When I get tired, when I get down, when I get weak, I need the Word of God. There are days I crawl in here. I am so tired. I am so weak. I am so weary. But you'll never know it because something happens. Amen. All of a sudden, the energy level's there. Now, I could go home and crash 10 minutes later. That's all right. But while I'm here, and it's not the coffee. Can I tell you something? You can't think your tank to be full. You can't drive to the sheets across the street, sit there in the parking lot and say, okay, my tank is going to fill up just because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about my tank being full. That's like the people that say, well, I don't need to go to church to be spiritual. Well, my Bible says in Hebrews, forsake not the assembling yourselves together as men or some is.
Yes, sir.
You think you're more spiritual than you are, you're about to fall. We all need church. I need church. I preach to me just like I preach to you. Matter of fact, I usually preach harder to me than I do to you. I can take it. That means we ought to be around the right people. Did you know the wrong people will wear you down? Did you ever get around somebody and you make this statement? Man, they just wear me out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You grandparents know what I'm talking about with those grandkids. They just wear you out. Or the great-grandkids, or the great-great-grandkids, or whatever it is. Yeah. Brother Scott, that's your fault. You raised them, I didn't. The apple didn't fall far from the tree, amen? Now, wait a minute. That means you need to read your Bible every day.
Amen.
Can I tell you why some of you wear down at work faster than you should? Because you didn't spend any time with God.
Amen.
I'll guarantee it. I'm going to tell a secret. I don't read my Bible at night much because then I can't go to sleep because all of a sudden I'll find something, Brother Mike, and I'll be up all night long. I'm not one of these people that can read my Bible at night. I can't read because my mind just starts going. It's like a super shot of espresso straight into my veins. And it doesn't matter what you take. It ain't slowing it down. Because it's God's word, buddy. That thing is pure strength. It's 100 proof. I mean, it's just nitrous oxide. Here we are. But read your Bible every day. Now, some of you need it morning, noon, and night. That's fine. But may I say something? Get in it every day. You wonder why you're dragging at work. Did you read your Bible that day? Well, why don't you take it to work with you and read it while you're at work? Uh-oh. Somebody might think I'm weird. Have you seen who you work with? They're weird. You want weirdos to think you're not weird? So, you cannot get strength until you use up what strength you have. What causes us to be weak, number two? Well, I'll tell you what causes you to be weak. Sin does. Psalm 38:10. Psalm 71 verse number 9, both all say that sin causes our wisdom to decline and creates weakness in our life. Sin creates weakness. By the way, God says in Proverbs chapter 24 verse number 5, Proverbs chapter 10 verse 29, that wisdom gives strength. So foolishness brings weakness, wisdom brings strength. Huh. Now watch this. That means the Bible, wise people, and the good experiences of life and what we've learned from life, that's what wisdom is, the propriety of things. And as we look at life through God's eyes, we can have a stronger life. Sin steals strength. Let me show you what I mean. Look how much money sin costs. Smoking cigarettes. I have no idea. Brother Stoltz, it's what, $5 a pack?
look at how much money is spent on just cigarettes. Well, you have to buy those, which means you have to work more hours to pay for them. Then, because of it, you get sick and you got to go to the doctor more, which means you pay more bills. And usually it shortens your life so that you're not able to retire when you should, and you got to retire early, so then you're living for a long time on less money than you should be living on. Same is true with alcohol. Think of all the accidents that take place, the higher insurance rates. And I could go on and on and on and on about those things. Same thing with drugs. Look how much divorce costs. Sin keeps you up late at night. Being up late at night keeps you from being productive at work, which keeps you from getting promotions and things at work and making more money at work. Look at the people you work with that go out and party all weekend and what they're like on Mondays. Look how unproductive they are. By the way, sin adds stress to your life. If you start lying, boys and girls, teenagers, it'll add stress to your life. You got to remember what lie you told. Try not to lie again about the lie that you lied about. It'll steal your strength. It'll keep you up late. Do you ever wonder why the bars are open till 2, 3, 4 in the morning? Unless you're working all night long, you ought to be in bed at a decent hour. Boy, that went over like a lead balloon. Look at how many accidents, traffic accidents, work accidents, et cetera, take place, and all the damage that is caused by those things because of sin. Look at the amount of money that's spent on jails and prisons in our country every year. Think of how much money is spent on speeding tickets. I didn't look at you, so, but just because you won't obey the law, which is sin. Okay, that went from amen to oh me, right? All right. By the way, as of the 24th of this month, it'll be 29 years since I got my last speeding ticket. All right? Yeah, I got it on my way to my wedding. Think of how much medical cost and health insurance and the diseases caused by sin. Think of how much money is spent on lawyers because of sin. Think of how much is lost in crime due to sin. Can I tell you something? Sin steals strength. Sin will steal the strength of your body. Sin will steal the strength of your soul and your spirit. It will drain you and drain you and drain you and drain you. I'm going to make a statement here. Did you know that hard work doesn't steal your strength? It gives you more strength. Amen. Can I tell you why you men are as strong as you are? Because you work hard. Amen. You know how to work. And by the way, best thing for a teenager to learn is how to work and work hard. And by the way, our ladies work hard.
That's right.
I thank God that we have ladies in this room that know how to work and keep their house and rear their kids. Good night. Don't lock me in the room with the three kids. Amen. There's only so much of that I could take for so long. That's why we had miniature boot camp. Amen. You know, my boys, thank God they learned how to work. I'm glad I had a very wise set of parents. I also met a man who reared good, godly kids. And I said, look, what is the key? He said, it's easy. You got to do two things. I said, really? I could do two things. I said, I've read books that are this thick on it, and wow, that's way over my head. They said, oh, it's real easy. Teach them to work hard and love God. Everything else falls into place. If you can teach a kid to work hard, teach them to love God, everything will fall into place. Boy, that's good advice. You can say what you want about my kids. They all three know how to work hard. You can say what you want about all three of my kids, but they do love God. Amen. Past that, I don't care. I got one that's in the ministry full-time. Got one that's working on being a police officer in Lexington, Kentucky. Got another one. She's going to start her senior year of college and marry a preacher man. Be a Christian school teacher. Hey, I'll take that any day. I didn't say they had to be in the ministry. I just want them serving God. By the way, the one's a police officer, works his bus route, and he's a layman in the church.
He worked 16 hours on Friday, worked 12 hours last night, moved yesterday, got 3 hours of sleep, got off at 5 this morning, was sleeping until 8 o'clock this morning, getting up, meeting the bus, and doing his bus route today. I'll take that. Ask him why he wants to be a police officer. He said, because I want to, God wants me to, so I can serve and I can be a better example to my bus kids. And I can protect them. Whew. You can say what you want. I'll take that any day. So sin causes us to be weak. Number three, I got to hurry. God wants to be the renewer of your strength. God wants to be the gas pump of your strength. God wants to be that which fills your empty tank. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah. This is a very famous passage, but you're going to see it in God's light today like you have never seen. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 29. I'll read, you follow when you get there. And if some of you haven't got there, just look at the page you're looking at and look intelligent, all right? Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth, what? Strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall run or walk and not faint. May I tell you something? God wants to renew your strength. Now, I'm going to show you something about this that we misteach and mispreach and we miss as we read it here. God wants to be your fuel pump or the source of real strength. Psalm 27:1, Psalm 46, verse number 1, Psalm 68, verse 35, Psalm 73, verse 26 says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." In all five of those passages, it says, "The Lord is my strength. He's my buckler. He's my shield. The Lord is my strength." Can I tell you something? You don't find strength outside of God. You don't find strength in a bottle.
That's right.
I don't care if it's Geritol or not. Yeah, but that's why Brother Barnes has got two bottles, one for each hand. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Strength is not found in a bottle. Strength is not found in a pill. Strength is not found in people. It is found in the Lord. Strength is found because God fills your strength. Everybody look at me. I love you. But I laugh every time I hear a grown man say, "Man, I am so tired. I worked 40 hours this week." I want to just look at him and say, "I did that in 3 days. Or less. Or less." I'm glad I got a boy that worked 4 days this week, and he's got 56 hours in 4 days. He had a day off. He got paid for 8 more hours on top of that. Now, wait a minute. Teenagers will love you, but just because you went to school for 6 hours and you worked 10 or 15 hours on a part-time job doesn't mean you're the second coming of Superman.
Good
night. You want to rip your shirt open and see the S, and it stands for stupid. Loser. Can I tell you something? Young people get tired. Now, you got to work them pretty hard. They got a lot more energy, and it's just not wrapped up in the same spot. Bible says in the book of Proverbs that it is the glory of a young, the strength of a young man is his glory. That's why when he's about 13, 14 years old, you find him in his room looking in the mirror. He's going like this. Or the day he says, "Mom, do you see it?" "You see what?" "Do you see it?" "See what?" "He got two hairs underneath his nose."
or the day one springs out on his chest, man, he's got to show everybody.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm right at our level. You got three boys. God bless you. It's coming. Amen.
I think it's funny. You watch a teenage boy. He gets about junior high. He can't walk by a doorway without touching the door frame at the top. Because he thinks he's hot snot on a silver platter. I can touch the top of the door frame. You're a real man. You're my hero.
There is so much more to strength than that. It's not even funny.
I don't know what that was, but it sure did. Klein came in.
Wait a minute. God cannot fill you if you're full. God cannot fill you if you're full. You have to use up your strength for God to be able to fill you with strength.
You don't go to the gym and sit down in the couch and watch everybody work out for 30 minutes and say, I went to the gym for 30 minutes today. I feel strong. You can watch them work all you want, but you're not going to get any stronger till you get up and do what they're doing. You get stronger by doing, not by watching. You get stronger by actually exerting the energy, not just knowing what all those exercises do to your body.
Are we at the level where you're living yet? Hang on. We're about to put the jar on the shelf and uncork the lid. How does God give you strength? According to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Number one, you have to wait. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now watch this.
That isn't the word sitting there doing nothing. My daughter works two part-time jobs this summer, one of which she's a waitress. If she goes to work this week and clocks in and sits down for 4 or 5 hours, is she waiting on tables? No. The word waitress or waiter means servant. God says, when you wait on the Lord, you're serving the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You get strength by serving the Lord.
Right.
I was tired this morning, Brother Stoltz. I'm not tired right now. You say, why? Because I'm serving God right now.
Amen.
I'm ready to fly. Good night. I'm not doing it, but if I rip my shirt open, it's S for sure, supersonic.
I'm ready to go. Now, I didn't feel that way at 4:15 this morning. It was resurrection day then. I woke up and said, God, it's Sunday. Thank you. Could I please sleep a little longer? You see, you get strength by serving other people. When you get your eyes off yourself and you get your eyes off your problems, can I tell you something? Usually God gives you the strength to carry your burden because you decided not to worry about yours and help somebody else with theirs.
Amen.
And often in carrying somebody else's burden, I go back to pick mine up and say, Lord, where was it? And he said, it's okay. You were carrying theirs. I helped you carry yours.
Amen.
You get strength by serving God.
That means this. When you go out and knock on doors and tell people about how to get saved, invite them to church, called soul winning. When you go out and do that, God gives you strength. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
All right. You don't get it by sitting there doing nothing, sitting on your blessed assurance. You get strength by teaching somebody else. I'll guarantee it. You Sunday school teachers that taught Sunday school this morning, you're stronger now than you were before you taught. I'll guarantee it. Brother Mike, I know you're tired. I know what hour of the day you get up. Not many people I can text in the morning when I get up and know they're awake, but Brother Mike's one of them. How many times does he say, Preacher, I'm sitting here working on my Sunday school lesson. I know he's tired. Guess what? He's feeling pretty strong right now. Feeling pretty strong. Your strength by encouraging somebody else. You know,
it's amazing how many people wear themselves out talking negative and gossip about people. Shut your stinking mouth if you don't have something good to say.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
My mama taught me a long time ago, if you can't say something nice, just don't say it. We live in a world that's so critical about everyone, everything. Can I tell you something? You'll get strength if you'll encourage somebody.
Yes, sir.
Walked into a hospital room full of people yesterday. I didn't even know. I said, folks, the Lord wanted me to come and talk to you today. And I say, how do you know it was the Lord? Because somebody emailed me and told me that they didn't want that family to know. I asked them to come, but here's the room and here's the person. And would you just stop by and see if you could help them? You don't know whether to duck or pucker. Let me tell you, because you're not sure what the reaction's going to be, especially when they call you and say, they might cuss you out, they might chase you out. I say, it don't bother me. I can run faster scared than they can mad. Don't worry about it. I walked in, introduced myself, gave them a gospel track, and an 80-year-old man sitting in a wheelchair, his wife laying in the hospital bed. He said, I got one of these. He said, it's been in my car for almost a year. He said, somebody from your church handed me one of these. He said, we've been thinking about coming to your church. It was time to pucker, not duck. Amen. Stood there. We had a good conversation. Got to witness to all five people in the room. They say they're all saved. Had a good conversation. Can I tell you something? Those nurses wondered why I was so happy walking out of the hospital. Got in the elevator, and there was a couple there. Happened to be a black couple. She was in a wheelchair. She had her little bag full of stuff from the hospital in her lap. I said, going home? She said, yes, sir. I said, isn't that a wonderful word, home? And the man pushing the wheelchair said, sure is, especially because I get to bring her there. I reached in my pocket and handed him a gospel tract and said, sir, I'm a pastor. I understand that. They go to a church, didn't try to take them away. But when the elevator hit the bottom floor and it opened up, I let them out. They started to take off. The man stopped, turned around, and he reached his hand out. He said, Pastor, thank you for encouraging us. He said, you don't know the heartache we have right now, but you just encouraged us to make it another day. My feet went all the way to the truck and never touched the ground. Say, what'd you do? I was waiting on the Lord. I was waiting on the Lord. Waiting is not sitting there doing nothing. It is the act of serving. Number two, you have to keep running to get strength. The Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Can I tell you something? I hate long distance running. Sorry, Mrs. Barnes. Mrs. Barnes is a half marathoner. I'm a half marathoner too. I let her off to run the half marathon. I have never seen a happy jogger. You ever seen? Yeah. If it looks that bad, why do it? Now, wait a minute. But I do know something about running. Anytime you start running, you reach a point where you think, okay, I'm about to die. I can't go any farther. It could be in the first 100 yards. It could be in the first 3 or 4 miles. But you're going to hit that wall. But you know if you just keep going, all of a sudden something kicks in. It's called the second wind. And all of a sudden you find that strength, but you don't find it if you quit when you feel like quitting. You got to keep on going. You got to keep on pushing through that. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with things as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. It doesn't say you won't get weary. It says you won't be weary. You'll find that weariness, but if you'll keep running, you'll run past that weariness and be able to keep on going. Too many people, as they go through life, they hit a tough spot and say, that's it, I'm done. We got too many sissy Christians out there. Well, it's getting hard. God must not be in it. Oh, come here, let me burp you too, baby. Do you think the devil is going to allow it to be easy on you? Do you think that God is going to make everything easy so that you don't have to be hardworking in life, even spiritually? We have a race to run. God said that we have a race in life to run. I want to be like where it says, the Apostle Paul said, I have run the race, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Jesus said that in the book of Hebrews that we're running the race and they're watching us run. Let me say something to you. Keep on running. Others may press you. Keep on running. Others may quit. Keep on running. Others may fall by the wayside. Keep on running. You don't stop and sit down and get strength. You keep on running. You don't empty your schedule because I'm just so busy. No, you keep on going. Keep your schedule. You don't quit church and quit church services because you're just too busy in life. Good way to lose your strength. When you're running, you don't turn around to see how close the people behind you are. It's a good way to lose your strength and fall over and break your neck. Find your pace at running and keep on running. By the way, listen to this statement. I'm about ready to come on. I've been waiting all church to preach this one statement. You ready? You win because you finish, not because you came in first place. Too many people are so selfish, so full of pride, that they have to be first place or nothing. Well, can I tell you something? You don't even know where you are in the race. There have been people for thousands of years running the race. There are people that are running now. There are people that will be yet running. And we all enter the race at a different place. You are not the judge of whether you came in the first place or not. And who cares? Just finish the race.
Amen.
The prize is for you if you finish, not what place you finished in. Just keep running. Get your strength. Don't quit running. Don't quit serving. Number three, you need to keep walking to get strength. Comes a point in time in your life where you can't run anymore. I'm fast approaching that day. But may I say this, you can keep on walking. You can just keep on walking. By the way, Psalm 1, verse number 1. Psalm 1 talks about that we should not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Watch this. Walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That walking is seeking counsel. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Not he that sitteth around drinking coffee with wise men shall be wise. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That walking is the advice and the people from whom you seek your advice. By the way, if you don't seek advice and you're your only advisor, you're already weak. You need to get counsel, though, from the right people. If you have electrical needs, do not come see me. I will direct you to who you will need to see. I don't touch electricity. Colorblind people don't touch wires. I hate the stuff. I don't even like it taking it off of the spool at the store. I hate it so bad. Now, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm chicken all right, Shane. But at least this chicken still has his lips, amen? I heard that. It's my bodyguard. I can get away with it. He's there to take the electrical shock for me, amen? Now, wait a minute. I know a little about HVAC as far as how it's supposed to operate, but not the operation of it. Why do you think I called him? So he can get electrocuted. I'm not touching them things. Now, wait a minute. You need to have the right kind of friends. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. I don't care what your age is. I don't care if you're teenagers. I don't care if you're young adults. I don't care if you're middle-aged adults. Don't care if you're old people. You define what level you're in, all right? I'm at middle age. I plan on being 100, amen? Now, wait a minute. You need to get your counsel from the right people. By the way, young people, listen to me. Find somebody that's been down the road farther than you. Don't get your advice from somebody that doesn't know any more than you know.
Amen.
Dumbest thing in the world is for a teenager to get their advice from a teenager.
That's right.
You know, hang on. We're not to run from person to person to find what we want to hear. The Bible says in Psalm 84, verse number 5 through 7, that they go from strength to strength and they fall. You go from person to person to person to person to find somebody that agrees with you so you can say, I sought counsel, I sought advice. I know people come ask my advice and then they'll go talk to somebody else and go talk to somebody else and go talk to somebody else till they find somebody that tells them what they want to hear and say, I sought advice of a lot of people. Don't blame me for that. Don't blame God for that. God and godly people and godly friends are the ones who will get you closest to God. Amen. Who is the source of your strength. I promise you. I am not some mean ogre that wants to steal all of your fun. I sure would like you to be closer to God for your whole life and have the strength to run and make it to the end of your life and say, I did something when you die and go to heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. This life is just practice for the next one. I don't know about you. I want to hit heaven at full speed. Dr. Chaco, when I die, I hope I don't have to change stride. I hope I can just keep on a running. I know some of you, if you died right now, first thing you're going to say is, where's the remote control? Huh. Wait a minute. We're to keep on going in this race. I'm done. Job was wrung out. He wasn't sure if he could keep on going. He was on empty, but he knew God would fill his tank. God would put strength in him. He did keep going, and by verse number 10, he said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He said, I'm going to get my gold medal because I'm going to finish. I'm going to get to the end and I will get what God has for me. I'm just going to go till I finish. Well, I don't know about you, but I plan on getting a gold medal from God. Amen. I don't care if it's silver, brass, bronze, but I'm going to get one because I'm going to finish. How about you? How about you? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I'd say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior and that alone take me to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure, I won't come to you, I won't call you by name. But you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon is something I personally needed. That was for me. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Dozens and dozens, probably scores of hands went up. Thank you. You can put them down. In a moment, when I point to the pianist, she'll begin to play. When she begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. If you raised your hand and you said, God, I have a need in my life, how about you just move as far forward as you can and kneel at this altar here or kneel at your chair? If you raised your hand and said, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die, preacher, would you come and we'll let somebody of the same gender take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? If you've been saved and not baptized, we can care for it today. Saved and baptized, you'd like to join our church, we'll take you. It's an old-fashioned Baptist church. We're plain and simple. King James only.